Welcome to the Minute Maid Game Podcast, episode 325. Yes, you might think that's the Rolling Stones with Brown Sugar, but it's a cover band doing a tribute. Anyway, I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Hopefully you've paid your royalties to the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, right, exactly. And Phil Wilson.
Oh, you know, you got 30 seconds. It's okay.
Do you?
Oh, okay. Right. You can play the real thing for 30 seconds?
I think you can, yes.
Oh, that's the rule.
Fair
or
use.
If you're making editorial comments on it, I think.
I suppose, yes. So, that sounds like a cover of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
There you go. We made a comment on it.
So. There you go. Anyway, our buddy Graham is off today, and Phil, you're going to do some jackhammering today?
Yes, I've got big plans. It's Jackhammer Day. Jackhammer Saturday in Lakeville.
Well, I tell you, you did other things, though, with the... Yeah. The video that was this shown at the social media breakfast on Friday morning?
I believe it was at the end. I had to split a little bit early, so I didn't see it at the end. But
Buzzin' About Beer was the name of the social media event, social media breakfast right. event. And then there was this cool video with, what's Jason's last name?
DeRusha.
DeRusha, thank you, from WCCO. And I forget the woman. Maybe you can just say about it.
Yeah, it was basically Blois Olson reached out to me and invited me to be part of this video. They Free House Beer, which was where the social media breakfast happened on Friday, introduced a new beer in time for the state fair called Pie. They always number their beers, and this is obviously Pie, which is 3.14.
Exactly.
And it's apple pie and caramel flavored beer. So they did Blois, his PR firm, did a quick little video with a bunch of us doing a little pie eating contest and talking about beer at the fair. And it was fun. We had a good time with it. So that's what they used to kind of launch their little campaign.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to do a spoiler, but I hope you brought a washcloth for your face.
Yeah. Well, you know, you kind of, whatever you can do to draw attention away from Jason DeRusha. Jason is a quip machine. So trying to stay ahead of him in the video it's like, it caused, I had to do drastic things.
A little competitive, were you?
Yes. Oh, yeah. But that was great. You know, I got to tell you, the social media breakfast, and I know a lot of it had to do with, Blois trying to bring attention to this particular event or launch of beer, which was part of their whole invitation of having the team there or having social media breakfast there. And it was really well done at Freehouse. They did an incredible breakfast, was a good crowd. And that's just, I really hadn't been into the dining area at Freehouse. That's a nice place. So,
and that's across the hall from you at BuzzFeed, right?
No. That's 612. Freehouse is over in the North Loop.
That's right. Okay.
And I think it's a Blue Plate restaurant. Blue Plate's got a bunch of different restaurants in town. So,
okay.
But that was really well done. I really enjoyed it. And I can't remember, tickets go on sale for the next social media breakfast coming up. And I can't remember the topic on that one.
Yeah.
Michael Roventine is still cranking them out. It was SMB number 81.
And then, his significant other, Jen was.
Jen Jammer was
leading it, right? Or she's leading them all now.
I don't know. I think she was hosting it, that one. I don't know if she's, does she do the ball? I don't know.
I don't know. So what was this other, girl develop it on year celebration? What's this? At some other event?
Yeah, it was another event. Girl develop it is, excuse me. That's a 1 year celebration. I typo. Sorry.
Oh, I'm looking at the show notes for those of you listening.
It's an on year.
Girl develop it on year. Well, I just figured maybe, I don't know, maybe there was some meme there that I'm not aware of.
That you were unaware of. I understand. Girl Develop It. I was introduced to this, the Minneapolis chapter. One of our developers at BuzzFeed, Liz Liao, is on the board and on the team, leadership team there. And they basically teach women to code. And they've done very well. They've got like 800 members in the organization. They've put on just a ton of workshops and instructional classes, and they were celebrating their 1 year anniversary. So that was held over at Westworks, I believe. I believe that was the name of it, but it's a little place over in on East Hennepin. But yeah, I just wanted to point that out. It's just another great organization that's really trying to get more women into the technology space. And yeah, what appealed to me about this group is that they're teaching women, you know, whereas, you know, I'm involved with Technovation MN, we're targeting middle school and high school girls. These are, you know, women in their 20s, the older women that are either switching careers or interested in coding or improving their skills. Yeah, so
right.
It really was a very nice event. So
excellent.
Check it out. I'll put the link to the website in the show notes.
Well, and then it's a good thing that we're promoting tech for more and more young women, because Tim, did you put this in here? Is your state losing tech jobs? Minnesota looking pretty good.
Yeah, it's jumped 8.36% over the past 6 months.
Yep.
Yeah.
To 37,600 workers.
But people keep leaving Minnesota to go start tech companies elsewhere. Why is it happening? Oh, wait a minute. We're doing okay.
Yeah, we're doing okay.
Yeah. Well, as someone in the comments points out, the numbers here are small, so it's by percentage. Yes, we did increase the tech workforce more than these other states. But the other states, California, New York, North Carolina, they all have larger populations. Amounts.
They have larger populations. That's what we call that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if North Carolina does. In sheer population, we're probably fairly close to it. But in tech, they're ahead in just raw number of people.
Well, you know what I find interesting, and I know, Tim, you and I talked about this at one point with respect to server sysadmins, and you had hired some guy out in Research Triangle out in North Carolina to help you with dedicated Linux servers. I actually have three clients right now who are all using the same guy virtually to be their server sysadmin, and each one of them is talking about, they're just beginning the discussion phases about what it would take to hire someone full time, and because there's enough work and there's enough technical work. And these three companies shall remain nameless, but none of them are frankly doing anything that is all that highly technical. But when you stack everything up together, you know, there's a lot of effort that has to go into learning everything to put everything together. And I just wonder how many other companies are out there like that realize, boy, it'd sure be great to have somebody that was, you know, a PHP programmer, or at least knew PHP code well enough to be able to develop things. And you know, what else could we do with our server technologies, and what other stuff could we integrate? So there's probably a lot of jobs out there that could be filled if there were just the people available.
Yep.
So
it shows that it doesn't really matter where you live. You know, you can do tech wherever.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's good to see a cluster here.
Right.
And just to give you the difference in population between, was it North Carolina?
Yeah. I think it said they have 45,000 and we have 37,000.
Right. So. And the population of North Carolina is almost 10 million. We're 5.5 million.
Right.
So.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of this has to do with population density of people, you know, obviously. So, anyway, I think we're doing just fine.
We are.
Maybe we're just not getting enough attention.
Right. Well, but then there are other things going on too, like, Justin Castor's Clean Tech Open, that Midwest, startup accelerator.
Yeah. St. Thomas has taken over that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, the whole,
I don't know. What does that mean? Does that mean anything? Or?
I think that it means that, they're going to apply more of the brain trust of the University of St. Thomas Schultz School of Entrepreneurship toward the accelerator. I mean, it's pretty tough to be one guy or a small team running something like this, where you don't really have a scalable business model.
Right.
And so, you know, having an organization with a lot of bench depth, I would think would really, really help them.
Huh.
So,
okay.
But this Justin Castor started it 9 years ago, and he went on to expand the group's footprint to 13 states. So that's pretty doggone impressive.
Yeah, it is very impressive. Maybe it's just time. He says, I got to call it quits. I got to back off.
Yeah.
I got too much traveling going on.
Yeah. Well, and there's enough going on in clean tech that it's moving pretty quickly.
Yeah. And I saw this, Tim, you had mentioned something about iMation losing a little bit of traction. That was so are they selling part of their business now? Is that the plan or?
Yeah, it looks like they're splitting off pieces and they're selling them off. But the Register characterizes all of their moves as a death spiral, which doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's like death spiral. How nice.
Yeah, when you see that, it's like, okay, well. They just sold off one of their storage businesses or spun it out.
I just don't see how they're going to make it. They really don't have any momentum in any category.
Yeah, they don't.
So
they're going to really have to, you know, figure something new out, I guess.
Damn that cloud.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Well, they had an opportunity. I mean, they could have easily gotten into the cloud storage business at one point.
I don't know, easily. It's hard to say. Well, but yes, they could have gotten into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I suppose, but so that, you know, we got a little shrinkage, we got a little growth, you know, so but we're luring companies away from Wisconsin, it looks like, too.
Yeah, what's this? Growing whiteboard video firm.
Have you seen any of these videos that the folks put together?
Yeah, I've only seen one.
The one that was in in the article.
Right.
They do some really great stuff. I don't know if you've seen it, but the company is, what is the name? TrueScribe. That's right.
Yeah.
So you can check that out.
They've leased 3,000 square feet in the International Market Square building.
Yep.
Which is, that's a good size office.
Yeah. That's Exocyte moved in there a little while back. You know, the International Market Square has always sort of been, you know, home decorating and that sort of industry. You know, you go in there, there's just tons of home decorating services and, you know, carpets and things like that. But so the tech stuff is sort of standing out or sort of not their norm, but it's interesting. It's a great space. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. It'll be interesting, but we're luring it away from Wisconsin now.
Fitchburg,
it's all about growth.
Wisconsin. Where the heck is that? Is that over near Eau Claire? I've never heard of that town.
I haven't either.
I don't know. I suppose I could look it up, but first we have to talk about some other tech stories.
We do.
Because there was some other good stuff going on. And have you guys read anything about Alphabet in terms of what it means? So just to set the stage for everybody listening, Google created this holding company called Alphabet, with Larry Page as the CEO, and Sundar Pichai is now the CEO of Google, and
which is their search division.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's their revenue division.
Well, it includes Android. He was the head of Android after the founder left. What's his name?
Which I can't figure out. If you're gonna kind of segment your company up under an umbrella, wouldn't you separate Android from Google Search?
You would, I think, and I think that's going to happen, but not at the moment.
Yeah,
I think that Nest is totally separate now, so they're going to run Nest as a separate company, and
yeah,
right. I think this is just sort of diversification for them, or the ability to diversify and segment things up a little bit. Maybe, you know, it makes it easier to either, you know, sell them off later or you know, grow them independently or, you know, whatever. I think it's just sort of a business thing. I don't think it's really I don't think Google's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, cute name, Alpha, which is a measure of the active return on an investment. And so an alpha bet.
An alpha bet, yeah.
And so it lets them, you know, spin out a lot of different things and try a lot of different things. And, you know, hats off to Google. You know, everybody slams them. Not everybody, but some slam Google for Google Glass and Google Wave and Google Plus and yada, yada, yada. But you know what? If you don't try stuff, if you don't take risk, you're never going to, you know, create new categories, you know, and jumpstart stuff.
Yeah. What you said, give the gun a rumpf.
Absolutely. I mean, it's real easy to be an armchair quarterback, which is why, you know, I keep that, strong man stumbled, you know, the Teddy Roosevelt part of his speech.
Oh, really?
Sorry. Well, I'm going to put a link to it in the show notes, 'cause it's something that I have framed on my wall about how easy it is to be a critic.
The slings and arrows.
Yeah. The rewards go to those in the arena who know, you know, that expend the sweat and blood and know the victory of, know the sweetness of whatever. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Yeah,
it's really. And I can't see it right now because I left my glasses in the other room. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes. So,
and for you kids listening at home, Teddy Roosevelt was a president at one time. So
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the teddy bear is named after him.
Yes, exactly right.
That's right.
So
he was a big game hunter as well.
Yeah, so he would have been
today he would.
He would have had a hell of an arena.
Yeah.
Hell of a time with.
Would not be popular on Twitter.
Right.
Right. But, yep.
I was going to say, the whole arena thing. I remember that. This is one of Steve Borsch's quotes to me. I remember when I was making that transition from broadcast into the interactive space, and he, you know, Steve was saying, well, you can't be in the seats looking at, you got to get down on the arena floor. And so I always hearken back to those wise words. Is that where you got that sort of was that sort of a spinoff of Teddy Roosevelt?
Absolutely.
I love that.
That's exactly what it was. Well, because it's just been imprinted on my brain that it's called The Man in the Arena. And it's just a little snippet out of a speech that he gave at the Sorbonne in Paris in 1910. And it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there's no effort without error and shortcoming, blah, blah, blah. I'll let people read it.
Blah, blah, blah. Was there blah, blah, blah in there? Was
even, you never read the actual speech.
I thought Teddy Roosevelt was more of a yada, yada, yada guy, but I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, that's so true. I'm glad you found your glasses so you could read that. Thanks, man.
No, I found it online.
Okay.
I used the Google. How about
the Google?
That? Isn't that appropriate?
There you go. Use the Google on the internets.
So I don't know if you guys saw this one, Tim. I thought maybe you would have something in here, but maybe it's not official yet. But Comcast is supposedly launching a video service aimed at YouTube.
Yeah, I saw that. It's just rumor at this point.
Seems logical.
Yeah.
And BuzzFeed is involved too.
Well, yeah, so far that hasn't been confirmed, but I believe Vox confirmed it. So, and Vox is definitely in that space. So,
yeah.
And the Onion and a bunch of others. So,
yeah.
I don't care how big you are, can anyone compete with YouTube at this point?
I
think it would be very difficult.
No, not without some specific target. No, I don't think, because they're so ubiquitous. So,
and they're global.
And they're global. So,
you know, the advantage for Comcast is they have all of these regional data centers that they've built. So they have the ability to store and forward videos locally. It's almost their own content delivery network. But that's really, it's just really US centric.
Mm-hmm.
So, not that they couldn't use an Akamai or somebody else, but how could they compete on cost? because supposedly Google's YouTube is, you know, some people have even said bottom line is that because of Google's buying up of Backbone and so on, they've been able to put peering agreements together that essentially provides YouTube video delivery for next to nothing. Now, that's never been confirmed, but it would make a lot of sense. I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons they hired one of the fathers of the internet, Vince Cerf, to come in and help them with their global network. Hmm. So, could be.
Well, you know, I kind of, it's interesting to me that whole big deal with Vox and Comcast and all that, it's always positioned as NBC Universal rather than a Comcast deal. So I think everybody sort of tiptoes around the name, the words Comcast on occasion. So
yeah.
So, but it should be interesting to see how that pans out. But you know, I there are a lot of video services out there. None as epic as YouTube, but
we'll see.
We'll see.
Well, I thought this was interesting. This Information Week article: Salesforce demos Apple Watch apps for business, and I thought, what the hell would you use? I mean, maybe for notifications and stuff, but it seemed a bit of a stretch.
Well, I don't know. I guess I didn't spend much time with it, but what kind of things does it do?
Well, essentially, they've got one called Better Works, which helps employers motivate employees to achieve common goals. Right. So I'm sure it's
a little sign that keeps flashing. Your job's on the line. Your job's on the
exactly.
line.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in sales. Get off your ass. Get out of the office.
How many calls?
It's all location dependent. Yeah. But then there's TaskRay, which helps managers monitor project progress.
How many calls have you made?
And then Contact World, which helps users prioritize incoming calls.
You called this guy?
Phil, you're so cynical. Anyway, stuff like that.
It just shows Salesforce is a platform, and they have a developer kit, not only for the Apple Watch, but also for Android Wear.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're developing apps for companies on top of Salesforce, now you have a SDK for some wearables.
Exactly.
I always, when we were working at HyperIQ, I was always hearing the developers rant and rave about the API for Salesforce, how brutal it was and how difficult it was.
Oh, really?
Yes. Just one of those. Well, you know, it's one of those things that has been built upon and built upon and built upon and built upon. And at some point in time, you have to just rebuild something rather than stacking code on top of code. It just gets very cumbersome. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm glad that there are companies that are taking an interest in trying to get into the wearables and take advantage of the wearable. I still don't know. I know that the Apple Watch is still, you know, sold very well, and there are a multiple of Android based watches out there, like, you know, Wear and Gear and that sort of a thing. So, but I still, you know, outside of, you know, my office, I don't see a lot of people wearing smartwatches.
Yeah, very true.
It's not caught on yet.
Not really, but
I still don't see a lot of people wearing watches. So
yeah. It's just around the corner, though.
Well, okay. I wonder if Apple's new gigantic iPad that's rumored.
Huh?
What gigantic iPad? I'm
so
sorry.
You both have iPads, right?
Yeah.
Of some measure, right? Do you feel the need to upgrade it to this new giant 12-inch one?
Nope.
I don't, but it depends on what it does. Because there's rumors that the new iPhone will have an A9 chip in it that's apparently going to be a screamer. So for this new iOS 9 split-screen view and also to be able to have more apps running in the background, because now, you know, they're all memory dependent, so I don't know what the parameters are specifically, but you know, if you're using an app and it, you know, it'll go into sleep mode, or they'll take away the memory allocation, the operating system will, to be able to reallocate it to the frontmost apps. Well, that means, you know, if you've got split screens and you're doing a lot of stuff, you're going to want more memory, you're going to want a faster processor. And so I, you know, maybe I'll look at this when, if in fact they ship all this stuff, a new series of iPads and a new phone or new phones and maybe an Apple TV, blah, blah, blah. If they do all this stuff, I may go through a big upgrade round because there may be enough incentive to do it. So
I don't know. I'm skeptical. There's a Business Insider story I put in here, and it this shows how stagnant the whole tablet market is.
Oh yeah,
and particularly at the high end. So I think that the reason that the iPad is sort of tailed off is these what they're calling white box tablets, the generic super low cost, in many cases under $100 or around $100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if those are good enough for most people, and it sounds like they probably are, why would you go in and pay $500 for an iPad?
Right.
Right. Right?
Well, and
so
the iPad,
not that tablets are going away. I think tablets will continue to find their place in the market. It's just that Apple tablets are declining because they're overpriced when you compare them with others.
Well, and there's also, a lot of deals right now on iPad Air 2s, for example.
Yeah, because they're about ready to refresh.
Right, so. Right. Yeah. I mean, I saw one just the other day. It was a 128 gig iPad Air 2 in slate gray, which is one of the most popular ones. And it was $500 or $539, I think. And I thought, wow. And I went to look and it said out of stock. So they must have had five. But
I've seen a bunch on eBay.
Have
and
you?
you'll see them come out. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And they're very aggressively priced. So if you're in the market for something like that, then probably now's the time that you'll see those before the event next month.
Right. Right.
Right. Because I imagine, although in past years they've separated the event, so they have something in September and then the next one in October, and I think if memory serves, the October one was the iPhone event, and the other one was the iPad event, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we'll see how that goes. Well, yeah. But, you know, Bloomberg said that they're going to delay the live TV service to 2016.
Yeah.
Because negotiations are stalling.
Still, I think that, you know, the Apple TV itself will be, you know, upgraded. We talked a little bit about that last week. About,
yeah.
You know, Siri editions and things like
right.
that. So, which I did return
the S. They'll do the SDK.
Too. Yeah. And I did return my Echo to make room for that. So.
Oh, you did? Really? Oh.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow.
Just wasn't using it enough.
Huh.
Mm.
So, sorry. Did I let you down, guys? I'm sorry.
No, you're
no,
right.
I,
you're okay.
I thought you'd keep it, but, you know.
Yeah.
I guess if you're not totally embedded in the Amazon ecosystem, that would be of little use.
Well, it was very nice for quick things, but as I said, the integration to like the SmartThings hub, not there yet. And there are still certain things that, you know, I've done them for so many years of just pushing a button rather than asking for a command. It's hard to get into that habit too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But a really great device. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was a really great well-built device. It just wasn't for me at the time.
Yep,
so.
Yep.
And there was that creep factor still. So.
Yeah.
It's listening to me, man. So
well,
even though we rarely talk around our house.
Well, actually the new Google app is listening. Even on the iPhone.
Google Now?
No, if you say, you know, hey, Google.
Hey, Google. Yo, Google.
It's supposed to come. Or if you're on a web page and you say, hey, Google, it's supposed to be able to listen. Hey, Google. I'm trying it right now, but it's not working. Anyway.
It's not working.
The thing that I wanted.
man committed for yelling at phone.
Yeah,
he kept
exactly.
saying, hey, Google.
That's right.
It's okay, Google, by the way.
Oh, it's okay, Google? Okay.
Yep.
All right, I'll try
yep.
that. Well, you don't have to talk to this other thing. You know, the DEF CON 2015, the hackers conference out in Las Vegas just got over this past week. And one of the devices that had come out was a $30 device that defeats almost any keyless car or garage door.
Right.
And it's called Roll Jam. And I looked at this and went, oh, jeez. I mean, seriously.
Did you buy one?
No, but do you remember me talking about that little Faraday cage bag that was in my cool thing of the week where you could drop your key in there? It's because of this technology, but now for $30, I mean, anybody can buy it. And basically what it is it's, you know, when you try to open your car with your key fob, if you're standing next to your car or you're going to lock it, you'll notice it didn't work the first time. It's because it's being jammed, but it'll work the second time. But at that point, the thief will have stolen your rolling code, and then they can open the vehicle at any point. And so they've got it. Same thing with a garage door. You drive up and you push your button and it didn't work. You're like, whatever. And you push it again and it opens. You drive your car in. Well, then the thief comes back that night and opens up the door and walks in your house, because most people leave the indoor door unlocked.
Not the Wilsons, damn it.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
Me neither. Yeah. Well, I have electrified
front
door.
One more thing to worry about.
Well, yeah, but the point is, it's just this stuff's getting so cheap and it's so ubiquitous now and so easy to do that, you know, it's the old script kiddie thing, right? Where as soon as scripts were available that they could run, they went out and they spent, you know, their $30 or $50 and they bought a script, and then they could run, you know, denial of service attacks and all sorts of stuff just because you could just buy it on the open market. Somebody's already done the hard work for you. But anyway.
Well, that last story, that has whet my appetite for
Steve Security Tip of the Week.
Well,
it's almost like we set that up, huh?
It's almost like we set that up. That's right. Well, so there's a problem that's been going on for some time, and it didn't explode until this year. And that's when 103 credit card skimmers were found at Florida gas pumps. And so this whole credit card skimming thing is a big problem, and it's growing larger. Let me back up one second. Over in Europe, they've gone with chip and PIN. So you have a chip on the front of your card.
Right.
And when you put your card in, it does what, the new Samsung Loop Pay and the Apple Pay does, is it provides a code, doesn't put the actual number in there. And it's much, much more secure. It's much harder to attack. But in the U.S., we've just barely begun to move forward on having a chip in our credit cards. And as a consequence, Americans are very vulnerable. So these card skimmers are going just crazy. And Brian Krebs, our favorite security guy, posted a story about a credit card skimmer that's almost as thin as a credit card. So it slides into the existing slot of an ATM or any other credit card reader. And so I'm going to put a bunch of links in here. Just if you walk up to a gas pump and you see that this thing's protruding just even a little bit, just wiggle it side to side. And if it's loose, don't use it because it's probably a skimmer. Same thing if you walk up to an ATM machine, even if it's, you know, Bank of America or Wells Fargo or anything, just look at the thing first before you slide your card in there and then put in your PIN.
So these people that are putting these skimmers on are basically under dark of night going in, breaking open the pumps and placing this inside the pumps and then rebuilding them. Is that actually,
well, you'll see, I'll put a video in there, an ABC News video, on credit card skimming, and you'll just see, that. And I'll also put in one, there's a good one from Canadian Broadcasting on how credit card skimmers work, and you'll actually see what they look like. And, they're, if you know what you're looking for, you'll be able to see it. But otherwise people are just look at it, you know, cause they're all so different. I mean, all these gas pumps are different and the credit card readers are different and so on. And, it's just getting really bad. Anyway, the punchline for us here in Minnesota is
what's the punchline?
The, there's been an acceleration in fraud with credit cards, specifically because of the Target breach, and a lot of people haven't replaced their cards. And these fraudsters have realized that if they come to the local market, their big purchases will be less likely to raise a flag at the credit card company. So if you just had your card stolen, Phil, and somebody...
I've had my card stolen? What?
And somebody was in Vermont, and they went into an Apple store to buy a new iMac. You know, it's unlikely that Phil Wilson's going to be in an Apple store in Vermont buying an iMac. And so, you know, it'll get flagged, the credit card level, and you'll have to give them another ID and so on and so forth. But if it was Minnesota, if it was Southdale, you know, there's a good chance that the thing would just go through because you live here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that level of fraud has really accelerated in Minnesota. So there haven't been any news stories I've found about skimmers being on cards here locally. But also be aware if you travel that in touristy areas, they really target Americans because we don't have chips in our cards. And so
all of my cards now have chips. So
good for you. So that's my tip of the week.
And a fine tip it is, laddie.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the cool thing of the week. And again, I just have to say, Phil, that you're going to be out with a jackhammer today doing your steps. I, on the other hand, had my driveway replaced and I had a concrete apron that was bad up by the garage. And I thought they'd come with a jackhammer.
And they didn't?
No. They came with a
little bobcat.
A little bobcat thing. And they lifted it up and it smashed.
Right.
You know, and I thought, well, okay, that was smart. But
so my cool thing of the week,
yeah,
is really nifty card reader that you can.
It's only $30.
Only $30.
That's right. Pays for itself in just a couple of days.
In a couple of days. In fact, probably within the first transaction.
Right.
No, really, what is your cool thing? Come on.
My cool thing of the week is Inner Exile, the self-healing iPhone case. Have you seen any of this, guys?
No.
Any of this technology? It's basically this. If this is a case that if it gets scratched, it heals itself. It basically has a sort of a, I don't know, must be some sort of gelatinous material that fills in scratches. I'll put a link, obviously, to the video of it in action, but I would be curious to see what this feels like. It's not available for sale yet. It should be here soon. This is like the second generation of this particular material, but I wonder what it feels like. Does it get all linty in your pocket? Like, you know, that sort of thing. So,
yeah,
but check it out. It's the Inner Exile self-healing case.
Very cool. Mr. Tim.
Well, this is another Kickstarter thing. It's called Remix Mini, which is an Android-based computer. And unlike the other one that I featured, I don't know, a year or so ago, this one is super cheap. It starts at $20, and they have one that's $40 that's still on Kickstarter that's very tempting for me to get.
So why don't you get it?
I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I'm almost there.
So what do you have to, how much do you have to invest to get the $40?
$40, that's it.
$40, that's it, okay.
2 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of storage?
Yeah, you get full PC.
Can you expand it with storage?
I don't think so. I think it's, you know, it's whatever it is on the board.
Yeah.
It's based on Android, but they've come up with their own operating system called Remix, and it's a productivity kind of operating system that's made for Android to be used on a desktop, and it has things like keyboard shortcuts and a bunch of, you know, things that you would need if you used this on a on your desktop. So it's low power, you know, just kind of if you need web browsing and some productivity apps, and the Microsoft Office suite is actually very good on Android, and so they're using that for their office, and they've written a few other apps. It looks like the email app looks like it's something that they've done, but I think the last one that I had was something like $100, and that one makes you think, you know, okay, do you really need it? But for $40, if that $20 one was still open, I would be in, but.
Interesting. We'll see what's nice about this.
$40 one. We'll see next week. I might have backed it
by
then. Go for
it. Do it.
Yeah. Well, what's really interesting
about
this.
Do it. Pull the trigger, man.
I've got 13 days to decide.
Yeah. What I like about this is the, a lot of people will talk about having an air-gapped computer so that no matter what, it's not on your network. It's never been on the internet, never will be on the internet. And so that you can actually do things locally and securely by taking files and sharing files to that machine. What's interesting about this is that this could almost act like an air-gapped computer in that you could share, you could run in a browser, you could just set up another Gmail account and have another Google account and have that be your secure computer. Almost air gap.
If it was Gmail, wouldn't you have to be connected to the internet?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying it could be, could act as a separate from your normal machine running device. So you could do email, you could do, Google Docs, you could do all these other things without having it even potentially infect the rest of your machines.
Right.
I don't know. Just an idea.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw it this week. I think it's a good idea, and I may be backing it.
Go. Cool. Do it.
It's very
well. My cool thing is something called the TouchJet Wave. This is also an Indiegogo project, and it's turn your TV into a touchscreen. And you got to watch the video to really get an appreciation for it.
And why would you want to do this?
Yes, I was just thinking the same thing, Tim. Thank you for saying that.
Well, okay. So if you're doing anything in an office situation, you can use that as a touchscreen.
Okay.
And you got to watch the video. But it was interesting because they showed, working with Google Maps and then working with a 3D3D modeling program and moving things around and so on and so forth. I looked at it and I thought what would be really cool with this is to do mind mapping. And so where they have brainstorm ideas, that they had handwritten stuff, but you could easily, use a mind mapping app and have that on there and just do the mind mapping with the touchscreen, move things around. Anyway, it was cool.
I think Microsoft has a version of the Surface that is like a big, huge touchscreen TV thing.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like that technology, but at kind of retrofitting it to whatever random TV you already have.
Yeah. And it sits on top and it looks like a little LED light almost, in terms of the way it sticks out. But anyway, I thought it was pretty cool.
Huh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Cool things of the week.
It is a cool thing. I'll give you that.
So, events.
Obviously this week they launched the actual lineup for our Twin City Startup Week. So I think that's something you could take a peek at. Lots going on that week of September. Well, it starts actually September 8th, which is a Tuesday. Never understood why it starts on a Tuesday if it's a week, but it does.
Yeah.
So Beta MN kicks things off on Tuesday at 5. There's a lot of other things going on. If you want to take a look at the calendar, we'll put a link to the show notes. But that happens starting the 8th of September, running for.
That sounds great. Week. Good.
And then what else do we have on the list here? Well, obviously mini demo the 10th of September. Have tickets rolled out for that yet?
Not yet. Guys?
Not yet. They just did a call for speakers probably a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks. But
yep.
So there you go. Anything
all
else?
Right.
I put Mima Summit in there too. Graham had thrown that into the Flipboard mag. So
yeah. Did you see anybody on that speakers list that was going to, really light you up?
I am not familiar with any of the speakers so far that have been announced.
Well, Amy Webb spoke last year, so I'm curious. She's on a keynote. She's a keynote speaker again this year. So, don't know.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
More looking forward to it as always.
And we will talk about it next week on
the Minovate Gang podcast.
Take care,
guys. Have a good week.